Today on Real Life Radio.
A recent poll taken of churchgoers in America, they believe the Bible is true, and then they turn around and say that there is no devil. Guess what? Jesus says the devil is real. If you today are, watch this. If you're thinking today there is no Satan, boy, have you fell for his propaganda.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Revelation with a message called When Hell Meets Earth, Part 1. You know, judgment doesn't have to be our future. The Lord made a way of escape, and He's ready to forgive with abundant mercy all those who come to Him. You see, when this kind of horror during the Great Tribulation is on the movie screen, we know it's not real, right? But the thought of such things really happening and the suffering, the judgment, and hell, that is real. It might be too much to bear. So why should we really care about what's going to happen in the end? Because as much as we don't want to hear about it, Jesus spoke about it. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that not only is hell real, Satan is real, and so are the demons. Satan was once beautiful and even led worship in heaven, believe it or not. But in his arrogance, Satan sinned against God and thought himself equal as God. Now, this is why God cast him out and his demons down to earth, and it's where he'll try to make his final stand. Now in his message called When Hell Meets Earth, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
This morning, the book of Revelation chapter 9, and in chapter 9, did you notice, by the way, how fast we went through chapter 8? Anybody catch that? I got to tell you, the reason why is because the way that chapters 8 and 9 and many of the chapters that follow from this moment on, you can't break them up. There's a continuous events. We didn't hurry through chapter 8 because we wanted to get through the difficult portions of Scripture, but because it's structured that way. Chapter 9 is the same way. And you need to understand that if there was any way for me to get out of teaching a chapter, I have tried it. I've asked the Lord, you know, God, if you don't want me to deliver this message, give me a sore throat or something before Sunday morning so I can't teach on this chapter. This is not the most popular chapter to teach on. This is definitely, as chapter 8, it's getting worse when it comes to the judgment of God upon the earth. This is something that does not contribute to great church growth. This will not give you exact warm and fuzzies unless you are a Christian this morning. If you're a Christian, then, in fact, if you're not a Christian, even grab the little notes that's provided in front of your seat there. Grab it and jot down that you don't have to experience any of what Chapter 9 is talking about. Did you know that? This does not have to be your future. It's your choice. Chapter 9 begins to reveal to us all the way through now to the middle of chapter 19, the events, the latter portions of the Great Tribulation period. Gross, dark judgment upon the earth. This morning's message is entitled, When Hell Meets Earth. When Hell Meets Earth. This is a difficult portion, as I've said. And so as we look to this, keep in mind a great and wonderful promise when we talk about this chapter and the judgments of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, that's the verse that should be at the top of your notes. There God gives us a promise to all those who trust in Jesus Christ. For we are waiting for His Son to come from heaven. He whom God raised from the dead, even Jesus Christ, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Meaning that Jesus Christ is coming for the church before this great tribulation period, and He will deliver the church into heaven. By the way, He has to, according to Scripture. He will deposit the church in heaven via the rapture, and then the tribulation period will begin. And we know this from Scripture clearly. This will be the judgment of God brought to earth. Now, those of you who are visiting, I don't want you to raise your hand this morning if you're visiting for the first time. I don't want to be intimidated by the fact that you're visiting. Secondly, I don't want to know because, listen, if for some chance you are here for the first time, you've visit us today in a very difficult portion of Scripture, because we started in chapter 1, verse 1, and we're marching through this book. To jump in right now is like, man, this is wild. This is difficult. Well, again, keep this in mind. We are studying the Bible. These are the things that will come to pass in the future, because the Bible's never been wrong. It's never failed to bring about what God has said. And the other thing is this, that again, as a Christian, you don't have to worry about what is said here. So I want to challenge you in that area. I want to also challenge you, keep this in mind, to show you how often this topic is avoided, the topic of hell and the topic of hell being released upon earth in the tribulation period. I challenge you. You want to leave here today, go to a Christian bookstore, walk right up to the counter and say, hi, I'd like you to help me find a book here in your bookstore on hell. Guess what? I've tried that. You cannot walk into a bookstore, even a Christian bookstore, and say, can you find me a book on hell, please? The person behind the counter is going to say, why do you want a book on hell? Oh, we have a book on feeling good. We have a book on flowers. We have a book on warm and fuzzy. We have a book on how to manage your Christian money. We have all these books, but what do you want a book on hell for? It's not popular to talk about hell. But you know what? This morning, we can talk about the topic if we're Christians and we can glory in the fact that this is what we're going to be missing. Are you with me? Can somebody say amen to that? This is what Jesus has delivered us from. So when I mention the word hell, and you've already stepped into it, I mentioned it a moment ago, the sanctuary got really quiet. How come?
Is it legal to talk about hell?
Yes, it's legal to talk about hell. It's not popular to talk about hell, and it's mostly unpopular among those who are afraid of going to hell. They don't want to hear about it because, you know what, there's a sense of finality, a sense of fear, a sense of uh-oh. Uh-oh in Greek is, I'm in big trouble with God. We don't want to talk about hell, but Jesus talked about hell more than any biblical personality in all of the Bible. And I think that's normal for Jesus to talk about because he was the one who was going to go to the cross and pay the price so that we wouldn't have to go there. And you might be saying this morning, oh, hell, I don't believe in it. I don't believe in hell. Well, listen, join the ranks of all the cults. Did you know that? If you wanted this morning to say, I don't want to believe in hell. You know people that kind of like an ostrich syndrome, I got to find a hole and put my head in it and bury it because I don't want to talk about that topic. I don't want to be near that topic. That doesn't change it at all. That doesn't take anything away from the fact that it's real. And the truth of the matter is this, that God has declared it. He's warned us about it. By the way, you might want to jot it down. Over 600 New Testament warnings about hell. It is real. All the cults have a few things in common. Number one, Jesus is not your God, Lord, and Savior. Number two, there is no hell. Now, if Satan is the founder of the cults, and he is, isn't that a great bit of propaganda? There is no hell. Think about it. This is so incredibly stupid on Satan's part, in my opinion. If there is no hell, and you die, and you go into oblivion, annihilation, then why did Satan spawn cults in the first place? Think about it. If somebody knocks on your door and says, you've got to be a member of our cult, you've got to be a member of our group, and oh, by the way, there is no eternity, then why don't you and I go out and eat, drink, and be happy because tomorrow we die? Do you understand what I'm saying? Did anybody get that? Or have I been up too long already this morning? Too much coffee, is it? If there is no hell, according to the cults, then why do I need to accept anything at all? Then why not, let's just go out and full on get drunk or live it up or look out for number one. Why not? Because we eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. See, so avoidable is the topic of hell that people don't follow the logic through. Jesus said it's real. Now, are you going to pit the wording of the founder of a cult against the teaching of Jesus himself who rose again from the dead? Are you willing to gamble your eternity on the fact that maybe that cult leader is true and Jesus Christ is false? Are you willing to gamble with your foreverness, living in a hell, and gamble against the Bible? I hope not. Revelation chapter 9, by God's grace, I don't know how far we'll get, we'll see. But I'd like to make it to verse 12 this morning, beginning at verse 1, Revelation 9. There John tells us, then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star falling from heaven to the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. Verse 2, and he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth. And to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, nor any green thing or any tree, but only those men who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. There was torment. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. Verse 6, and in those days men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. The shape of the locusts were like horses prepared for battle, and on their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. And they had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like that of a lion's teeth, and they had breastplates like breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running to battle. Verse 10, they had tails like scorpions, and they were stings or stingers, you could say, in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. Verse 11, and they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek his name is Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. Is that not enough to freak you out? Spielberg could take a lead from this, huh? Did you notice how, by the way, note takers, Bible students, pay close attention. Notice as he's talking about locusts, as we shall see more and more this morning, he says, like locusts, like horses, like chariots, like women's hair, like the faces of men. Don't be confused with the fact that God is talking about just locusts with a bad attitude. Well, Jack, we have had great locust plagues throughout human history. That's true, we have. And they have devastated populations. True, true enough. Even North Africa today is going through great, great storms of locusts. Did you know, for those of you who care or don't care, without God's hands, listen to this, without the hand of God, God could cause, by the way, locusts always follow the wind. Did you know that? God controls locusts via the wind. Did you know that? In fact, when the locusts were done eating up Egypt, what did God send to drive them away? A wind. How does God send locusts to a land? By the wind. The Bible says that locusts have no king, but they're directed by the wind. They have no leader. We know throughout human history that when locusts swarm, that it can cover the sky and turn the sky dark. There's no doubt about it. What's amazing is that locusts can go through an area without eating. They'll go right through a peach orchard and leave everything standing. And then all of a sudden, something clicks in them, and they'll consume everything beyond it. They're extremely unpredictable. And by the way, I've read so many commentaries on this morning's message, and it was amazing to me how many of these commentators spent pages describing locusts when in reality, this portion of Scripture has nothing to do with earthly locusts. What John is trying to teach us and explain to us that whatever is coming upon the earth, it's like the greatest plague you can imagine. Listen, John's speaking 2,000 years ago. What was the great plague that would devastate a people, a nation? Locusts. When they came and ate everything up, animals died, people died. Listen, the local environment changed via locusts and their swarms. Then he's going to talk about scorpions. These are not normal scorpions. These are not scorpions that sting you. And by the way, they're very painful. Has anybody been bitten or stung by a scorpion in here at all? Anyone? Somebody in the back? Not a good thing. Most of the scorpions in America are not, they're painful but not harmful. There are some in California, Mexico, Arizona, and New Mexico that are very painful and could cause death in young children and elderly people. But painful. And I understand, I went and read this on WebMD, that if a scorpion stings you and happens to strike a vein, when they sting, it's a very bad situation for you, though you may not die. You'll go through hallucinations. You'll go through severe body spasms. And the pain, when it strikes the vein where the delivery of the poison is direct, almost like an IV drug, those people who've experienced that type of sting say that the pain was the worst thing that they've ever experienced in life. Women have said it's way beyond childbearing, that pain. So I can't comment on that. But you mothers today on Mother's Day might be able to relate to that. But pretty amazing stuff. Well, we're going to go through five things this morning. You say, that's impossible. I know. We're going to go fast and get you out of here on time because I know it's Mom's Day and you want to go eat something. When hell meets earth, look at verses 1 and 2. That's our first thing. Our first point is this. When hell meets earth, a creature personality will come. Can you jot that down? A creature personality. Why did I put it that way? Well, frankly, I'll give you the news up front. We're talking about Satan himself. A creature personality. That's important because the Bible refers to Satan as being a he in the male gender. I'm not going to get into spiritual sexuality of angels. Are they all male or female? That's not the point. God speaks of Satan as being Lucifer, as being the son of the morning, the star, but also as a he in a personal sense. A recent poll taken of churchgoers in America, they believe the Bible is true, and then they turn around and say that there is no devil. Guess what? Jesus says the devil is real. If you today are, watch this, if you're thinking today there is no Satan, boy, have you fell for his propaganda. That's exactly what he wants. And by the way, let's get this through our minds right now, or maybe out of our minds. He doesn't have spandex, red spandex. He doesn't wear, there's nowhere in the Bible that says he wears red. Okay, it doesn't say what he wears like that. It does say in some regards, as we shall see, how he's draped. The Bible says he's extremely beautiful. How does that blow your image? That Satan's beautiful, powerful, we'll talk about that, but that he's a person and that he's a creature personality, meaning that he was created. So look at verses 1 and 2. It says, and the fifth angel sounded the trumpet. John says, I saw a star fallen. You need to circle that word fallen because in the Greek, it is that he's already fallen. It's not falling, he has fallen. It's happened from heaven to earth. And he was given the key to the bottomless pit. So the first thing I want you to see right here about this creature personality is in regards to this, that Satan will fall from heaven one final time. That will happen, church, during the great tribulation period. Listen to Revelation chapter 8, verse 13. That's where we left off in an earlier study. Revelation 8, 13. John says, and I looked and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. Okay, that announcement was given. Four of them had announced, and there were three remaining. Revelation chapter 9, verse 1 is the blasting of the first of the three remaining trumpets. Okay, I hope that didn't confuse you. It is the fifth angel sounding. There's seven total. Number 5 is the first of the three that Revelation 8:13 warned us about. Do you get that in the compartment? Y'all got that? Out of all the big blasts and all the big woes, here comes the first of the last three bad ones. And one of those is this, that Satan will fall from heaven one final time. So when he says a star was fallen, keep this in mind, that Satan is real and so are his demons. The Bible says there are fallen angels, listen, and there are demons. There's different wording for both, and they are, both have different powers. I do not want to get derailed by getting involved in this portion of Scripture other than to tell you this, that demonic and heavenly angels appear and disappear at will. The Bible warns us in the New Testament to watch out when we come in contact with strangers. Anybody know why? Because by unknowing, we can be speaking and entertaining an angel as a human without knowing about it. Doesn't that freak you out? You can go, woo. That's weird, huh? The Bible says you can walk past somebody or talk to somebody who, in fact, is an angel sent from God, and they look just like a human, and you would never know it. So the Scripture says, watch out. For some have entertained angels without even knowing of it. Satan is real. His fallen angels are real. They appear and disappear at will. But demons are something else. Demons, according to the scripture, they need an idol, an icon, an idol, a statue, says the scripture. They need an animal to manifest their will. They need a person to possess. By the way, there is no known or stated words in scripture where Satan possesses someone except for the son of perdition or the Judas. Satan having entered him. Very rare in scripture, you know. And the Antichrist who comes, Satan entering him. Demons enter people and leave people who are not filled or, should I say, owned by the Holy Spirit. Man, if you're not a Christian this morning, I hope this message frankly scares hell's factor. I wanted to say something else, but I thought, man, it wouldn't go over well. Out of your life. Because listen, inside of you right now, you either have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, as Jesus will teach us soon, or you're vacant, or there's a demon that is seeking or possessing. That's what the scripture teaches. Very serious stuff. So for any of you this morning, as this morning continues, you get a little nervous, you can whistle a little bit like in the dark. But we're going to tread into some serious waters here. The fact of the matter is, it's hard for us, to some of us, to imagine the spirit world. In Revelation 12:7, it says, now listen carefully, Revelation 12:7, looking ahead, it says, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels, that's God's soldiers. Michael's always in a fight when he shows up in the Bible. Michael, he's an archangel, fought with the dragon, that's Satan, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was place found for them in heaven any longer. Verse 9 of Revelation 12. So the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil, Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to earth and his angels were cast out with him. The Bible says that Satan will fall from heaven.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called When Hell Meets Earth, Part 1. We're glad you could join us today for this amazing series. When Hell Meets Earth, Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the New Testament and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. All right, this is Davey J, and I have Pastor Jack in the studio with me. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good, Davey. Good to see you.
So, our book of the month, it's incredible. It really is. But man, is that a title and a half, right?
Okay. The book of the month is incredible.
Yeah.
And the title is incredible.
It is incredible.
In fact, listen, everybody, I don't want to scare you away by the title. So listen, here goes. It's socialism. That's the title of the book.
Yeah.
The subtitle is The Real History from Plato to the Present, How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crisis to Consolidate Control. And that's by William Federer. And I know that's a whopper, everybody. And you're thinking already, I'm tired from reading the title. Please, please get this book. Number one, I have to tell you all, if you're going to buy any book on socialism, this is the one to buy because he is a researcher.
Yeah,
and
true.
He does his homework. And it is exhaustive. It is encouraging because he's going to let you in on how to identify and really find out what in the world your kids are being taught in their public school system. So this is a must for our Book of the Month friends.
So Pastor, my friends that might not understand the concept of socialism or how dangerous it can be, would you say this might be a book to refer them to or something I can use to equip myself in order to respond to that?
There is no doubt that this is the book for that very thing. Number one, his credibility as an author just stands alone.
Right.
Everything's footnoted, so you can check and see. But absolutely, yes, socialism is here. It's in America. If we don't stop it in the next 5 to 10 years, it will be the new politics of America. So it's not only a great thing to know, yes, it's a great thing to pass on to others.
Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present, written by William J. Federer. It's available at jackhibbs.com for a gift of any amount. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.